Hi everyone, welcome to Life on Audio. Today we are raising a question that has been on my mind for quite a while, and I think I've made a TikTok about it that never got posted, and I thought I was kind of done with thinking about it because I've thought about it a lot, but I was in the shower and it came up again, and I was like, you know what, let's just talk about it on the podcast. Why not? I'm sure there's some other people who, well, actually, I don't know. I can't speak for other people, but maybe there's some other people out there who have also been debating this question. And you know, with New Year, sometimes we like to bring in new things into our life, and I've definitely been thinking about this one and which way I want to go with it. So let's just get into the question that we've all been wondering: to date or not to date in 2025. Let's get into it, because this is a complex question, I feel, at least in my situation. I think for some people, maybe it's a no-brainer. It's yeah, I'm ready to get out there again. It's been a while, blah, blah. Or you know what, I'm just not ready. I'll be ready someday, but it's just not today. For me, it's a lot more complicated than that. In fact, it's probably one of the most point is, it's definitely very complicated. And that's why I've been just thinking about it over and over again for the longest time, because I'm kind of I don't know. And the funny thing is, I can change this at any moment. It's I don't need to have a concrete answer now, but I've definitely been thinking about it, which means it's on my mind, which means I am tempted, but there's some things that are holding me back. In fact, a lot of things that are holding me back. So we're going to get into the nitty gritty details. Now, if you've been listening for a while, you probably caught on. I don't know if I ever I probably mentioned this. I definitely mentioned this. I feel like I say the same things over and over again. So if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, then you've definitely caught on that in 2024, I was not actively dating. But we need a little bit of a history, a background, just bring everything together so that if you forgot some things that were mentioned way back when, or just maybe are confused on some details, you have the full scope as to where I stand on dating. Well, I guess I should just start from the very beginning, and we're going to try and speed run it and not make this super long, because you know, obviously there's a lot. But I was the girl who did not date whatsoever in high school. I didn't have any flings, nothing. In fact, when I started high school, I made this pact with myself that I wasn't even going to have a crush on a guy, because I didn't want to be distracted. I needed to get into a good college, and I felt that any man in any capacity was a distraction to me, and so I was not going to engage with it. So I had absolutely no, well, I can't say I had no interactions with guys, but minimal interactions. While all of my friends were getting into relationships and hooking up and having their firsts and stuff like that, I was nowhere near that. So I totally missed out on dating in high school. And I think that was for the better. In hindsight, that was for the better. And you'll see exactly why I say that in a little bit, because I have a statement that I have said time and time again, and I think I will always stand by. And it's a little bit I say I don't regret anything, and I don't regret anything, but there's one thing that I wish I had done differently in my date. Actually, there's a lot of things that I wish I had done differently in my dating history. But anyways, this is the major thing. So it wasn't until my the end of my senior year of college, once I had submitted all of my college applications, that I finally let myself open up and be you know what, let's start quote unquote exploring. It's not I was all right, where are the men? You know, but then I started to have some experiences. I started to have guys like me, which was in my mind the first time that it had happened. But honestly, I don't think that was. It's just I refused to believe it beforehand. I was no guy can like me, whole thing. That also kind of screwed up my perception of me as an individual, my attractiveness, which, yeah, this kind of explains a little bit of what happened in terms of me dating in my early college years. It was a little bit of a screw up situation, because I was looking for validation for the longest time, since I had not gotten that validation through dating, and I was convinced that I needed that validation from a man to believe that I was beautiful and worthy, which is not great. But unfortunately, that was where I stood when I was still in my late teens. Anyways, so yeah, it wasn't until the end of my senior year where I started to open things up. I almost had my first kiss in February of my senior year, and then it didn't happen because I dodged the first kiss. It was actually with a German guy who was not in high school. He was 2 years older than me, and had been connected to me by a family friend because he was like an au pair for a family and they were connected to that family and he didn't know anyone. And so she thought, oh, like Sophia is half German. I'm sure she can show him around. And so she employed me to show him around. But then I kind of, and she was like, oh, like you should. I don't actually think I've ever mentioned him. Well, maybe I have, but I feel like I haven't. I feel like I've kept him under wraps. Anyways, she was like, you should like invite him if you and your friends are ever hanging out. And then I saw a picture of him. I like stalked him on Instagram after she had given me his name and phone number, and I saw the pictures and I was like, that man is drop dead gorgeous. Like, this was the first time I felt attracted to a man since I had gone into high school. So all of a sudden I was like, I'm keeping that man to myself. And I wasn't even thinking like, oh, like gonna turn into like a little dating situation. Like, mind you, I had not dated whatsoever. So I was still very like, I was just like, I'll show him around. I'll be nice. We'll hang out. But I never thought of it as like, oh, it could be flirty. Like, I was not experienced. I could not have seen any signs coming from him whatsoever. I would have not known what to do. And then it didn't work out and it turned weird and whatever. And then he had to go back because of COVID. So point is, missed opportunity. So it wasn't until a year later that I had my first kiss. And this was when I was living in Hawaii. I remember like once I got into UCLA, I started to like, we had like the Facebook page and people would post about themselves. And I remember like scouring the page for like cute guys. And then I would follow the cute guys. Actually, I was literally talking to Christine about one of them a couple of days ago because I was telling her the whole story. Like, he still lives rent free in my mind sometimes because I like follow him on, whenever I see something about him, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, that was the guy that I was like obsessed with. And I still think like he is like my ideal man in terms of look. He seems like a strange human being in terms of everything else, but the looks part was always like, I was like, that's exactly like my type, just like to the T. So there was a lot of that. I think that's when I started to like develop sort of this like boy crazy phase. And then I kind of talked to like some guys going into my first quarter at UCLA, and then maybe my first quarter, like it was I was starting to get like guy crazy. And then when I moved to Hawaii, I got into the dating apps and I started having experiences. I had my first kiss and that kind of opened the floodgates. I don't know. I felt powerful after that. I was like, I've made it past my first kiss. Like, I can do anything now. I can go on any date and, you know, whole thing. So basically from then, like from when I had my first kiss to when I got into my first relationship, which was a little less than a year later, 10 months-ish. No, not a 10 month. There was an 11 month gap. I was very much in this boy crazy phase. It was like college dating, if that makes sense, where it's not like you're going out on dates. I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, but it wasn't like I was going out on dates. It was like I was meeting guys in like frat basements and like I never had like a talking stage really. It was like I was either meeting guys in like frat basements or I was meeting guys on dating apps. And I was a very active dating app user. In fact, I would consider myself a dating app addict when I was using it. I used dating apps, I think, more than anyone else I knew. When I was on it, I was on it. And I like used it to the max. There was a point in time, first off, fun fact, I've been banned from Tinder. Why? I don't know. Every time I always say, oh, I've been banned from Tinder, everyone's like, oh my God, what did you do? And I'm like, I actually still don't know. I woke up one day, I went onto Tinder, it was gone. I was like, I'm so sorry, what in the world? I have no clue. But that was for the better because like it was not great. Like my use of that dating app was not great, and Tinder I feel like is the worst. So like I definitely shouldn't have been on it ever. It's funny because I was talking to guys, but it was like not, I wasn't meeting up with guys. Like I think there was like one singular guy from a dating app who like went to UCLA. Like if they went to UCLA, it was a lot more friendly, but I still wasn't meeting up with most of them. I was just kind of like, oh, you know, talking to them a little bit, and then like it would usually die down. Yeah, it was strange. It was just a strange time in my life, and it wasn't like dating as you know it or like real adult dating. It was just like, I don't even know what to call it. Like, I don't know what that is called. So anyways, I did a lot of that from the time that I had my first kiss to when I got into my first relationship. And part of that was actually meeting my first boyfriend. I met him on Bumble, like right smack dab in the middle of all of that. It was end of June, 2021. So I was like just back home from my freshman year of college, and I meet this guy super unsuspecting. Like it wasn't like I saw him and I was like, oh my gosh, that's my future boyfriend. Literally, he was so irrelevant to me for months on end until he randomly, like we did a little bit of small talking, then the conversation died down, and then we didn't talk again until he randomly came back. And then I still was kind of like, I don't know, whatever, like, I don't care kind of thing. But then we started talking and then it like developed into something bigger. And then we got into a relationship. So up until then, it was very much just like no commitment whatsoever, like with anyone. Like I was never having like a proper talking phase. And I never had like a friends with benefits or like a hookup, like none of that. These were people that I would see like once and then they would disappear from my life kind of thing. So that was fun. I remember hating that. I was just like, why is no one sticking around? Like, why is no one interested in me for more than just like, and obviously I wasn't giving them what they wanted. So I think that probably was part of it where they were like, oh, she's not as easy as we thought she was. But it was just, I don't know. There was like no one who, well, see, but I can't say that either. But like, it was like the people who demonstrated a little bit more interest, I wasn't interested in. And then everyone else, like the moment they realized they weren't getting exactly what they wanted, would just kind of disappear. And I was like, whoa, you didn't even get to know me first. It wasn't a no, but get to know me, you know, like, I don't know. So there was a lot of that. And it was really frustrating. And actually, that summer between my freshman and sophomore year, I was feeling really defeated and like unlovable. It was not great. I remember like just vividly laying in bed at night and just thinking like, why does no one want me for more than this one thing? No one. I was just so confused. And I think it definitely like took a hit to my self-esteem and like my self-worth, because I was like, I want more with someone. Like, I want to be loved. I don't want to be the girl who's just like replaceable kind of thing. And I didn't know when and if I was going to find someone, because I had never like found someone before. Anyways, and then I got into my first relationship. I was 19 years old. And what I will always say, and this is the one thing that I wish I had done differently, I wish I hadn't gotten into my first relationship that early. It's so funny because when I got into my first relationship, I felt like such a late bloomer. I was like, oh my God, all of my friends got into relationships when they were like 15, 16, 17 years old in high school. And here I am, I'm a sophomore in college and finally I'm having my first boyfriend. Like, I'm so behind, and thank God it finally happened. Like, I had to wait for such a long time. And the moment I got into it, I was like, you know what? I could have waited like a couple of more years. I think now 22 is a lot more of a reasonable time to be getting into a first relationship than 19. At 19, I did not know how to even take care of myself. I did not know myself whatsoever. I was so susceptible to ending up in the wrong situation. I had no standards. My standards were 6 feet underground. I had literally like honestly not much respect for myself either. Like, I let people walk over me time and time again. I didn't know how to stand up for myself. I didn't know how to say no. I had so much to learn. And I think through getting like kicked down time and time and again, like, I finally was starting to come to my senses. I don't regret that I had that relationship, because obviously I learned so much from it, but I was also so young and naive. And I feel like I'm still dealing with the aftermath of that relationship to this day, because it was such a monumental thing that happened in my life. And a lot of what happened in it that I still like still doesn't really sit right with me, or just is hard for me to process, is due to lack of maturity and the fact that it was young love. So yeah, I always say, and I say this to my friends who are still single to this day, like have never been in a relationship, because I actually do have quite a few friends. I'm like, I know it may not seem like this because I felt like such a late bloomer at 19, but like, it is a blessing in disguise that you haven't experienced that yet. Because with that time, you've been able to get to know yourself better. You're going to be so much more secure in who you are. And I think truly you'll end up being a better partner because of that. Because you are gaining life experience in the process, and you are gaining a better understanding of who you are, and you're maturing. And I feel like maturity in a relationship is so incredibly important. And I think that's why a lot of people don't have the most pleasant stories from their first relationship, whether it's in high school or college. High school, I've heard some bad stories, okay? I still think that my relationship was a lot better than the stories that I've heard in terms of high school relationships. So I always was kind of like, okay, thank goodness I didn't have a high school relationship. But I will say I don't think my college relationship was that much better. And it's so funny because I remember thinking like, oh, I'm so grown up and like, this is such an adult relationship. I was so wrong. That was not an adult relationship. Like, we were literally children, literal babies trying to pretend to be adults because we were in love. And I feel like for me, love was always like such an adult thing, but we were children. We were children and we were not mature enough for that. And a lot, well, at least I wasn't, okay? I think the difference between me and him was the fact that he'd already been in multiple relationships. So in terms of relationship maturity, he definitely had more of it. But this was my first relationship. I was starting from nothing. I had no prior experience, like nothing whatsoever. No situationships, like nothing. So I knew nothing going into it. And I had to basically figure it out as I went. And that was extremely difficult. It was just hard. It was really hard. And I feel like I messed up a lot. And so it's like, I guess the thing to be grateful about is like, I learned a lot in that relationship, or I learned a lot from messing up. But the lessons didn't come out until after the relationship ended. It was after, like, I feel like my judgment was very clouded at the time. It wasn't until after I came out of it that like the smoke started to clear and I got to look at it more and more clearly. And I feel like I'm still uncovering things. Like, I feel like this is something that's going to take 2 years to truly like let it settle. I feel like it still hasn't fully settled. And to be fair, part of it is just the fact that I was left with trauma that came after the relationship ended. So like, I'm still battling that, but I don't know. It's still a work in progress. Maybe that's like bad to admit, but like it is. Okay. I'm still learning things, still figuring myself out. I'm still maturing and I'm still taking the lessons that I learned from that relationship and applying it to how I'm going to move on in life, or like how that will change things for me in a future relationship. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Okay, so that's a rundown there. I said I was going to keep this quick, but now it's not quick whatsoever. I'm so sorry. And then after I got out of the relationship, I was like, whoa, I've never actually properly dated. Like, the first time that I'd gone on like 2 dates before that, or before I got into that relationship. And so this was the first time I was like really experiencing dates and all that. And so I left that relationship just being super intrigued as to what it was like to actually casually date. I wanted to experience that. So I got into that pretty quickly after that relationship, which, like, in hindsight, I don't think that that was the smartest idea, especially given the circumstance. But I also don't think that it was the worst idea, because it gave me, I feel like it helped me in my process of justifying the breakup. And also, okay, basically to run through it, shortly after I got out of the relationship, I got back onto the dating apps. Here we are, dating app addict. It doesn't go away, it just comes back. And so I was straight back on the dating apps and I met this guy. He very quickly wanted to take me out on a date. I was kind of like, what in the world? You don't know me. So I made him get to know me a little bit more and vice versa. And then he asked again. So I was like, sure. We ended up having a 1 month situation. I won't call it a situationship because I don't think that was what it was. It was just like we were dating each other in that time and like getting to know each other. And we hung out, I think, a total of like 4 times, 5, 6 times in that time period. And that was like the longest dating situation I've had since. Does that make sense? Like, that's the longest dating situation I've had outside of a relationship. So as you can see, my dating history has not. I feel like most people somehow manage to have like a long-term dating thing. And by long-term, I mean like more than 2 weeks. I don't. It goes by so quickly. I don't know. I can't explain why. I can't explain what it is about me. So I had that experience. And then after that, I took a break from dating. And then when I moved to LA, I was like, okay, I had a little break. I had recently gone no contact and I was ready to just kind of get out there again. I was like, okay, new city, new me, like, let's do this. And so I dated a little bit for a couple of weeks into my time in LA. And then I got severely humbled. And so I was like, you know what? Actually, never mind. Never mind. I went on dates with like a couple of different guys in that time period and then took like a 2 month break, then thought, why not, for funsies, let's get back into it. Went on two more first dates. Then I came home for winter break. And when I came home from winter break, I started dating this guy, going on dates kind of thing. Same thing as like that 1 month thing with like the guy out of a relationship. It was a pretty similar experience where it was like we were going on dates. This one I only ended up hanging out with 3 times. I think it was three times. We had a first date, which went really, really well. If anyone remembers, if anyone was here last December, I have like this whole episode where I'm like, that was like such a good first date. There was a first date, there was a second date, and then there was the, it wasn't a date, there was the hangout that ended it all. I think that was it. And like we FaceTimed. He was like traveling for some time. So like we FaceTimed and he was like, you should have come to New York City with me. And I was like, I barely know you, sir. Like, no. And then of course, lo and behold, he comes back, we hang out, and it all ends up in flames. So that was great. Love that. And so that was around the time that I decided to delete the dating apps for quote unquote good. I had realized that I had spent way too much of my life on the dating apps. Again, it was a little bit like an addiction, honestly. I used it way more than I think the normal person. And I had started to like when I got back on it after the relationship, I definitely was using it a lot less than I had once upon a time. And I had a lot less interest in it, but I still was meeting people off of it and like going on dates with people off of it. And I just kind of was like, I don't really want to do this anymore. And I knew for a fact that if I ever got into another relationship, I did not want it to come from a dating app because I'd already experienced that once. I don't know, it wasn't really my cup of tea. Like, I didn't love that it was always like tied back into the fact that we met on a dating app. And I want to meet someone organically. I'm really a hopeless romantic. I want to have that like cute meet cute and that story to tell instead of that kind of like, oh yeah, we just like met on Bumble, haha. And that was it. I mean, you know, we had a story because there was like added elements to it. It was like, we met on Bumble and then like we didn't talk and then all of a sudden we started talking and then we talked for 3 months virtually, never met in person, then met in person and started dating like a couple of days after. Like, I don't want to repeat that. I'm sorry, but I will not be repeating that, okay? Never again. Never again. So I wanted to be able to truly experience organic dating and I wanted to make way for that. So I deleted the dating apps. And then 2024, I just kind of went into it and I was like, okay, so I deleted the dating apps and I'm not going to actively date. I'm not going to like make it a point to try and like meet people, to like go on dates, like to try and learn how to organically date. I was just like, honestly, I'm good with whatever, whatever happens, happens. I think deep down, I was hoping that I would meet someone in that year. Was that realistic? No. Was I putting myself out there? No. But I still have kind of that mentality where I'm like, I don't really want to put in the effort to find someone. I just want things to like magically work out, which that feels like a lot to ask for because I feel like, where am I going to meet someone? Like, so far, nothing. But I'm like, is it actually that hard to just like live your life and happen to just meet someone along the way instead of having to like actively like put in effort to go find someone? I feel like you have to put in effort, at least in my life situation. Like, not once have I had anything organically formulate where I was like, see, and I could see this turning into a relationship. So I'm like, how in the world is that going to find me? The stars would have to quite literally align, which maybe is like a standard I should have. I should be like, you know what? I'm going to stick by, I want it to just so naturally happen that I'm not looking for it. I'm not putting in the effort. It just happens. But I feel like I could be waiting for like decades before that happens truly. But then again, it's like, you never know, right? Like, it's the annoying thing. It's like the same thing about the job search. It's like there's so much unknown in it and you never know when things are going to work out. It could literally happen like in a split second kind of thing. Like, it's just so strange. You never know who it's going to be. You never know when it's going to be. You never know what situation it's going to be in. Like, it's just so hard to predict. So that's kind of the annoying thing. It's like I'm sitting around being like, all right, so when's that star gonna align? Like, when are the stars gonna align? Like, I'm waiting. Hello, like I'm ready. And it's just not happening. A little rundown about dating in 2024, because it was not the Sahara Desert as I think I thought it would be. I was like, I'm not really seeing how this dating thing is gonna happen, which is why for 2025, it's like I could go into it and just be like, whatever happens, happens, and still something could happen, even though I'm sitting here and I'm like, nothing would happen kind of thing. But that's where the debate comes in. First, there was a guy that I approached. This was not an act of trying to figure out organic dating. This was an act of trying to boost my own confidence. At this point, I had no interest of trying to figure out organic dating. And I had this mission that I created for myself at the beginning of 2024 that I wanted to get so much better at just being able to like randomly approach people, specifically guys. Because, okay, to be fair, I was like, okay, no guys really approach me. Like, it's kind of rare that I get hit on in public. Doesn't happen very often, especially not in my college town. That was like a true, I think it only happened once. that I know of, at least in my senior year. It only happened once. I'm not kidding. I wish I was kidding. Once. I would walk around every single day. Actually, twice. Wait, I forgot. There was a second time. Twice. Except the second time I didn't treat it as like, oh, he's hitting on me. I thought he was just being friendly. And then I realized later on that he was trying to like get with me. But anyways, two singular times. In 6 months. So I truly hated dating in college because I was like, this is so stupid. Like, it's like the theory of abundance, but it's just like, this is so stupid. Like, when else are you ever going to have like so many people who are the same age range as you and are like this attractive and all that? And like, you guys can't approach each other. We're all single. I mean, we're not all single, but like so many of us are still single. Everyone should be booed up in this situation, but most of us aren't. And most of us are frustrated by the dating scene here. Anyway, so there was that situation. I guess I got my confidence boost. I tried it once. And like, here's the thing. If there was a go-to technique, it would be that in terms of organic dating, because that's one I know could definitely produce success. Because then he ended up like asking me on a date. At first, he didn't respond for the longest time, or like didn't text me for the longest time. And I was like, whoa, that failed majorly. That's so awkward. I was like, never again. I tried once and it totally was a failure. So I will never approach a guy again. But then he ended up texting and then he was like, oh, like, do you want to go get coffee? And I was like, yeah. We hung out twice. Second time, everything went up in flames. He literally yelled at me. I'm not kidding. Raised his voice. And I was like, absolutely not. And then I made this infamous episode on here that is my most listened to episode called Feeling Unlovable. I might have been crying in that. I don't know, but it definitely left me in tears because I was like so defeated by that situation. I was like, why was that man raising his voice at me? Never have I experienced that once. So there was that. Then there was, how do I explain this? Then there was the guy who had found me from TikTok in February, I think, basically talked to me on and off for like months. And then finally I was like, hey, by the way, do you want to hang out? And I was like, oh, sure. Like, you know, haha, like fun, whatever. Not really thinking anything of it. But then we started talking a lot once that came out. And then I was like, okay, maybe this is gonna be something more. And then he literally like showed up super late to like, it wasn't a date. It was never considered a date. Okay. He never said, let's go on a date. He was like, do you want to go on a hike? And I was like, I mean, sure, whatever. This was after I'd graduated. This was literally like a week before I was going to leave LA. Anyways, that was a mess of a date, but he did make up for it. And I said, I literally told him, I was like, this is not a date. And then I ended up kind of liking him. And then I hung out with him one more time, literally the day before I left LA. And then never talked to him again. So there was that situation. I don't know if we can really call that a dating situation, but I call it a dating situation because it's, mind you, like in 2024, I was not getting anywhere close to properly dating someone. And then after that, there was basically just SD man. And then the guy who I had a mutual friend with who I kissed in New York. But that's not dating either. That was like a kiss. Never talked to him again either. So SD man was actually, out of all these situations, the closest thing I got to like something more serious. And that was like getting nowhere close to serious because we both agreed that we didn't want anything serious before we even like expressed interest in each other kind of thing. So that was me and dating in 2024. Not a lot, but it was enough to get me through the year without being completely void of stories to tell my friends, because I also generally happen to be the friend who has the crazy dating stories that everyone gets to listen to while they get to like live their peaceful life where no man is disrupting their peace. Okay, so now it's been nearly 3 months since anything. And yeah, going into 2025, I was like, well, there's two ways to go about this. Number one, I could make it a point to try and date in 2025, not try and find a relationship. At this point, I'm kind of like, I don't really see myself ever getting into a relationship. Okay. I can't imagine it. It's very difficult to imagine. I'm like, I don't really see the stars aligning for me. I feel like the universe doesn't really want me to date. And honestly, I think for my personal sanity, that's actually the best case scenario, because I have this massive fear that I'm going to get into a relationship and I'm going to completely lose myself again. Like, it's going to be first relationship all over again. And I'm so sorry, but I can't do that again. I cannot traumatize myself all over again. So I like my peace where it's at. I like my solitude. It's quite peaceful. Yes, I'm a hopeless romantic and sometimes I dream of having a man. Yes, I go to bed every single night dreaming of my little ideal man in my head because that's the only way I can fall asleep. But beyond that, I don't want my peace disrupted, okay? If someone's gonna come into my life, they have to make my life so much better than it already is. And I think that's a huge ask. I have high standards and I just cannot imagine that someone out there is going to meet those high standards. I'm not saying that I'm gonna lower my standards because of that. I'm just saying I'm perfectly fine on my own unless someone can meet those standards and go above and beyond. Okay, with that being said, curiosity is getting the best of me. And I'm kind of like, I am a little curious about organic dating because I have never successfully organic dated. I have never, in my mind, I don't think that you can find a relationship if you're not on the dating apps. And I would like to prove myself wrong. And of course, I had no interest in dating in 2024, but now I'm starting to get the urge to have the experience just so that I can get a better insight as to whether organic dating is even possible or whether the dating apps are truly the only way to go. Now, I know for a fact that there are people out there who do not ever download a dating app and still meet someone, which is amazing to me because I'm like, there's no way. But I guess to be fair, I was also the person for the longest time who was like, I just don't believe that you can meet a significant other off of a dating app and what happened there. So I can't be that cynical about this whole thing. The thing is, again, I just don't know how to go about organic dating. Where do you start with that? Because in theory, like, shouldn't I have been organic dating this entire time? I wasn't making an active effort, but like the only thing I can think of in terms of organic dating, well, okay, there's a couple things. Here's what I think you're supposed to do if you want to meet someone organically. Number one, probably the most straightforward, get to the point one. Like if you just want to kind of like get it done, it's what I did last year in February, where you essentially write a little note or you go up to them, approach them, and share your information with them. And then if they're interested, they can make the next move. If they're not, oh well. And you just do that a lot. Any attractive guy you see, you just kind of full send it. That takes a lot of guts though, okay? The one time I did it, I had been wanting to do it for such a long time. There were so many missed opportunities because I was too scared. And then when I finally went for it, I was nervous wreck, okay? I blanked out. I don't know what happened between when I wrote that note and when I walked out of the establishment that I was in after giving that note. It was truly terrifying. And even though I had done it, I didn't come out of it feeling like, oh, I can do this again kind of thing, you know? Like, I feel like I hadn't fully conquered that fear. I was like, cool, I did it once, so I can say I've done it before, but that was it. I don't see myself doing it again. And now I've been out of practice for a year. So truly, like, I wouldn't. Still something I want to get better at, but I'm not good at just like approaching someone and starting a conversation. I never have been. Like, I can't even really do that with girls. Like, I will just like watch from afar and be like, oh, I kind of want to tell them that like I like their outfit, or like, oh, I'm kind of curious as to like what they ordered. But like, I will not ask. I will not utter any words, even if it's a girl, even if it's like the most friendly looking girl in the world. It takes a lot for me to pull it out of me. Okay, I've gotten a lot better. To be fair, I did the whole solo traveling thing where I made friends on the go. So I'm not like a total lost case. But if I don't have to do it, I probably won't. Okay. And I feel like at this current phase of my life, I'm like, I don't feel like I'm not in need of meeting people and making friends. And like, it's one thing if it's a girl, if it's a guy, like, first off, the only possibility that I'm talking to them is if I'm not attracted to them in any way, shape, or form. And that's it. That's it. If I find a man attractive, you best believe my mouth is staying shut. I will not, and I mean not, utter a word to them. I will not even make eye contact with them. This is actually a thing I've thought about so many times because people are like, eye contact is so important. Like, just like look at them for a couple of seconds and then you can look away. Every time it comes down to it, I'm like, okay, we're gonna go for it. And then my eyes dart away and I'm like, nope, gonna look somewhere else. I've been trying to get better about that, but it's very much a work in progress, okay? I avoid eye contact at all costs, really. So that would be my first tip and kind of my main tip. I can't really tell you like anything else that's gonna be super effective. And then my next tip is just like frequent places, I guess. I don't know if that's like a good tip, but you know, people always say like go to the same coffee shops and like start, you know, if you start seeing regulars kind of thing, you can like, again, make conversation with them, which like, am I gonna do that? Or like, I don't even know how you would go about this because it's like, what kind of hobbies would we both have? But like, I would say this makes more sense for meeting friends. Like I always said, oh, if I moved to a new city, I would probably go to workout classes, not because I like workout classes. I really hate workout classes, but I would go to workout classes to heighten my possibility of making friends. So like something of that sort. But for guys, what's that? I don't know. A golf course, maybe. I can test it out for you guys, maybe. No promises though, but I have been wanting to get into golf personally. So while I'm at it, but like, how are you meeting a guy on a golf course? I feel like that's not really something either. So I'm not going to sports bars. I feel like that's always a recommendation. Like go where guys are, sports bars. But like, I'm so sorry, but I don't necessarily want to date someone who's into sports. I tried that once. It wasn't too fun. I actually was quite miserable every time some sort of sport. I was literally like, I was forced to watch all of these different sports games. I didn't want to be there, but he wanted me to be there, so I was there. So I don't know how to organic date. So even if I were to say like, you know what, I am going to try dating in 2025, it could still be a complete flop because I have no clue where to start. If anyone has a guide, actually like successfully has a guide, please let me know actual successful tips on how to put yourself out there and meet people. Because like, I would love to like casually date again. I don't want to get into a full-blown relationship, but I did enjoy casually dating. And you know, you probably know this about me. I'm very fascinated about dating. I'm very fascinated about love. I read about it a lot and I like to have the experiences to come out of it and like add to my knowledge base, you know, even if it's not like a successful thing. It's like, okay, I probably learned something from it. Except sometimes I'm getting to a point where I'm like, I don't really know if I'm learning stuff from it or it's just more like a failed experience where I'm like, okay, well, that's awkward. But I have enjoyed casual dating in the past and I feel like that's something that I could enjoy doing again. I just don't know how you casually date people organically. Blink. Anyone, please. So that's one thing, but there's actually a lot more limitations to this whole thing. But I'll tell you what the other option is. That is complete, utter celibacy, no dating, nothing. Don't even look in the direction of a man. We're bringing back the high school pact, essentially. The celibacy part is kind of at random. I think I saw something on TikTok and I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe I should subscribe to that. You see, the thing is, this would be like intentional celibacy. In the past, it was just like unintentional. I think for the longest time it was like unintentional, but I was like, what if I was like actually intentional with it? You know, I've quit drinking, then I quit the dating apps. I need something new to quit. Maybe I should quit that. Except I really didn't have an abundance of that in my life. Ever. So like, I don't really, you know, like dating apps, there was a clear issue there. Drinking, there was a clear issue there. That, I don't really think that's an issue. I think the issue is that there's not much of it at all. But I still thought like, no, actually celibacy might be a good idea because I feel like it brings peace of mind. I'm not really for the casual things and I've tried it, but it's never really been my cup of tea. And I feel like it's better I just keep out of it completely. And so maybe if like I'm doing intentional celibacy, that kind of just shuts that door. So I've really thought about that. Like I remember seeing people talk about it on TikTok and I was like, I had never thought of that before. But now that you're saying it, that's not a terrible idea, actually. So celibacy, literally no dating, no looking and any man, whole thing, you know, like just nothing. Okay, so let me just talk about the issues here, the concerns I have with, or the things that factor into considering whether it makes sense to date or not. And here's the thing, we're not going to come to an answer, unfortunately, because I still don't know. Actually, I feel like it's a bit of, once I start explaining these things, I think it's going to start to sound like a no-brainer as to what the answer is, but it's like curiosity is still getting the best of me. And I feel like it's not, well, I once had a psychiatrist when I think I've mentioned this, when I got out of that relationship, she was very excited. And then she basically gave me this, she was like, word of advice, don't date. She was like, dating is a distraction. Go focus on like other things right now. You can come back to dating later. Did I listen to her? No. Do I regret not listening to her? No. I think it was a good thing that I did what I did because I learned something important and I added to kind of my understanding about relationships and dating and love and all that, and myself, actually. But I do think of her words in this current moment as I consider either side. Here's the thing. As much as I say I don't see myself getting into a relationship, if I were to find someone through this process, if I were to start actively dating and I'm just doing it for fun, but then oops, I meet someone and we start to hit it off and it starts to become more serious and all of a sudden we're like, you know what? I think we want to commit to each other. I have a very specific criteria for myself that I would like to reach before I get into another relationship. I don't want to enter a relationship still feeling like I have pieces to put together in the puzzle. And here's the thing, I'm never going to have it fully figured out. But there are some baseline things that I just want figured out before I get distracted by love again. And here they are. They're the things that I've been striving for the past good while now that I talk about all the time. First off, obviously hope to have my career in check. Now, the thing is, your 20s are for figuring out your career and like beyond, you know, it's not like, oh, I get a job and that's it. My career's figured out for the rest of my life. Like, it's going to be a constant process, but I'd at least like to have the basics of my career figured out. Like, I'd like to be in a pretty secure job that I'm looking to be in for a while and I'm doing something that I enjoy. I guess like in theory, this one matters a little bit less, but like, obviously I want to be working. Okay. And I want to have my career like off the ground because right now it's like fully on the ground. Okay. So that's a big one for me. The next one, which is even bigger, is the fact that I am no longer at home. I've moved out. I have a place of my own. I will not be dating while I'm at home, which like obviously makes this even harder because it's like, oh, I can say that I want to actively date, but like I have to continuously hold myself back while I'm at home because I don't want to mix my home life with my dating life. I've tried it before. It ended up terrible. I think it's just better that my family doesn't know that I'm actively dating, which is so ironic because what did I do last weekend when we had tea time? I went, so should I date this year or not? And my parents are like blinking at me and they're like, what did she just say? What did she just say? My dad's like, I don't think you should really force anything. My dad does not want to hear about my dating life whatsoever. So I would prefer to just keep those things separate. So like, I cannot be living at home. There is no way. Maybe if I was really clever, I could figure something out. But there is essentially no way for me to date while I'm at home because my parents keep tabs on me. Not like in a, oh, I check your location kind of way. I don't think any of my parents have my location, for one. And they also probably don't even know how to check a location. But, you know, I live with them and they see me every day and they know of my whereabouts. My parents are very curious. They want to know where I'm going. You know, if I say I'm hanging out with someone, they want to know who I'm hanging out with. They know my friends. There's no way to get around them. Okay. There's just no way to be like, oh, I'm just going to like go out. You know, they're going to be like, where are you going? Because I don't go out unless I have like a reason to go out. So that's really complicated. And I can't sneak around either because there's always someone at home, right? There's always someone at home. And then the thing is like, okay, I could not tell my dad for sure. That's like a no. I could probably tell my mom, but then my mom would be so curious and she'd want to meet that person. She'd be like, who is this person? And it's just like, we don't need that. We don't need that for someone that I'm probably not going to end up with long term. It's too complicated. It's too complicated. So I can't date at home. So essentially while I'm still home, that's like a no-brainer. Also, I can't lie. Whenever I think of dating and I think of my current life, like I'm embarrassed because here's the thing. My baseline for dating someone is that they have their job. They have their career off the ground. They have their own place. They're not living with their parents. And then like some other, I mean, those are just like the basics, bare minimum for what I expect from someone. So obviously I should be bringing that to the table too. And the thing is, it's funny because I feel like with guys, they at least, I've never, with the exception of SD Man, who definitely made a little commentary about it, kind of poking fun at me, but I don't think he was trying to be like, oh, but you're still this, but like it kind of felt like that in that moment where I definitely took it a little bit more seriously where I was like, Oh, okay. Oh, that you are going to make a note of that. Got it. I've never had anyone have a problem with the situation that I'm in. Well, not the current situation that I'm in, that is, but like in the past. Like, for example, the guy that I dated right out of my first relationship was someone who was 4 years older than me. He was 4 years older than me. I had just finished my junior year of college and he had graduated college like 3 years prior. So he already had his career off the ground. He was actually in a pretty successful position. He had his own place, he had his own life, all of that. And he never once was like, why am I dating this girl who's still in college, who like has no clue what she's going to do with her life? And like, I did have an apartment at the time, so like at least that. But this was around the time that I was actually planning on moving back home and like foregoing my lease for the summer before I moved to LA, because I knew that I was going to be moved to LA. And I was like, what's the point of having a lease? And I brought it up to him and I kind of was like, well, this is part of why we can't date anymore. And he was like, I would go pick you up at home. And I was like, oh, you would? I was like, is that not strange? And he was like, no, like, I'll come get you. And I was like, interesting. So I really thought like, oh, I might actually continue dating him while I'm still living at home. But then obviously things didn't work out. So he never had a problem with that. I feel like guys make less of a deal about that than girls do, at least in my experience. But just for myself, I would want to be in a secure place with those two specific things before I were to consider being with someone. That's just my criteria for myself. I think I mentioned it to someone. They were like, oh, but like, that doesn't really matter. And I was like, no, but it matters to me. It matters to me that I have achieved that to feel ready. But obviously, I have no clue when I'm going to achieve that. You know, there's a lot of unknown. And so for that, it really is kind of a matter of, will I even get there before 2025? Or, and then in that case, does that mean that I continue to put dating on a hold until I achieve that? And I think I have found myself starting to long for that a little bit more, or like just be intrigued. Like, I'm just kind of like, oh, it could be fun. Before, I wasn't really looking to do that. I wasn't like, oh, you know, it could be fun today. Like, maybe I should consider it. I was like, eh, I just don't really have any interest. I'm keeping myself off the market. But now I feel like I've been thinking about it a little bit more. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, it's like, it's harmless. Like, it could just be like a fun little thing. But then I'm like, A, I don't know how I would meet someone. And B, when I'm being realistic with myself, I'm just not there yet. I'm not where I would like to be. But it's like, does that matter if I'm not looking for anything serious, right? But then I will admit, I do kind of like, when I think of dating, I feel embarrassed about my situation. I don't feel embarrassed in any other context, but when it comes to dating, I feel embarrassed about my situation. I fear. So that's not a good feeling. And I don't necessarily want to be feeling that when I get back into dating. Like, I want to be able to look at my life and be like, see, I've achieved all of this. Like, what do you bring to the table? So I think logically, the answer is to not date, at least for now. But, you know, like I said, it's been on my mind and it's been of interest. And so it's hard to fully like not think about it and not be like, oh, but you know, what if? But I also don't think that I'm necessarily like missing out on the fact that I'm not having dating experiences. It's weird. I feel like I have gotten my fair share of experiences, and it's less of learning things from it now. And just, I feel like I know myself pretty well, and I feel like you can figure things out on your own. You don't need to like date a bunch of people. I think dating is crucial to getting to know who you are and how you love and just so many different things. But I feel that I've started to, I mean, you can always learn something new. I do believe that. But I think in the past couple of situations, I've walked away from it and I'm like, what did I learn? I don't know. I don't really think I learned something new. I think it was more just like a failed thing that left me feeling a little defeated. I can't lie. I feel like I was longing for something more to work out. I don't know, that like my emotions get in the way of logic. That's what I've learned. But I don't know. I'm a girl who has a big heart and just like wants love sometimes. And when the possibility of love finds her, it's hard to not full send it and want that love. So yeah, it's complicated. So I think really the latter choice is where I'm at for now. I think it's better that way. I think that I don't need that distraction. I need to just like put my head down. And I mean, I guess I have had my head down for a while now. Put my head down, focus on the things that are important to me, build that up, and then hope that once I've built that up, someone will be waiting for me, or like dating will be waiting for me on the other end, and it'll be a good time and successful. I think my one fear is like, oh, I put in all this work and I'm like prolonging it and waiting and waiting and waiting to like kind of the perfect moment in a way. And then when I finally get into it, it's like a complete flop. And I'm like, oh, so it was just terrible this entire time. Like, and I just didn't know because I was waiting. I was waiting for something good and it turns out it was not good. And I think I'm like, I fear maybe I'm romanticizing dating a little bit where I'm like, oh, it's so fun, because I do realize that it is actually brutal. And I've had my fair share of humbling experiences. I don't even know if I'm someone who really like actually cares for casual dating. Like, I just kind of want to meet someone who's it. I really do long for something more permanent. I don't really want this come and go thing. Like, I kept saying like, I cannot do another falling for a guy kind of thing and then they disappear right after. Like, I just cannot. I'm so sick and tired of doing that. That was what 2024 was. The first guy was irrelevant, but then the last two, it was sort of like the same story where it was like very short term, but you know, I knew that I liked them, so I gave them a piece of my heart, I guess, or something of that sort. And then I kind of like, it all got squashed right after. And I was like, oh. And then it was like no peace of mind for the next 3 weeks or something like that. Or I don't even know how long it was for the first one, but the second one took me out. Okay. The second one, we all know how that went. That was a little rough for me, I can't lie. And I just like, don't want to do that again. I was like, I want to find someone who actually will give me their all, because that one I really like put my heart on the line for. I feel like I've always been more reserved in terms of dating. I've been the girl who's like, I'm not gonna give you my heart. I'm gonna be a little more serious. I'm not gonna like just like open up to you. And with this one, I was like, you know what? It's been a long time since I've worn my heart on my sleeve, because I've tried to protect myself in so many circumstances, in friendships, in dating, in so many different things. But like, I am someone who loves really hard and loves spreading that love and like loves treating people to things and just like sending my love outwards. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go for it. But the thing with going for it is that you open the risk of getting hurt. Because yeah, I know that like you're supposed to not have an expectation. Like, the best case scenario is that you can send out that love and have absolutely no expectations so you don't get hurt. But I fear that it's hard for me to fully let go of the expectations that I have. And my hope is that if I put my heart on the line, someone will put their heart on the line for me as well, and it'll just work out. And I think that's what I was hoping in that situation. Not because I knew we were compatible, not because I thought like, oh yeah, I definitely could see myself with this person. I'm going to be honest, never was it a situation where I was like, oh, this is the person for me. And yet I ignored that because I'd put my heart on the line and I just wanted that love to be reciprocated, because I want love. I'm a girl who wants love. Not all the time. Gotten pretty good at suppressing that, but sometimes I want love. And in that moment, I was like, I'm putting my heart on the line, but I also want love. So if you could be it, that would be amazing. But then you weren't. And so I just had to kind of live with that. And I think it was a tough pill to swallow, because I was like, oh wow, I did all. No, not that I did all of that, but it was like, oh wow, I let myself love too hard again when I knew that it wasn't going to work out. And I also refused to accept the logic, the reality, which I should have done a lot earlier. I should have from the very beginning seen it for what it was and been like, eh, I could treat it as a fun situation, but it's never going to be anything more. So which one is it? Do I want to like let myself have the fun and deal with the aftermath? Or do I want to protect my heart and realize like, okay, this is not the right thing. We'll wait for the next one to come around and evaluate then. Obviously in my ideal world, I can just like continuously protect my heart, but I don't think that's the case. And as I was reading the Let Them Theory book, I was reading her like part on love, and she was like, I don't even know what she was saying, but it just kind of like hit. And I was like, you know what? No, it is a good thing that I continuously have these situations, because yes, they take me out, and yes, they disrupt my peace of mind. And yes, sometimes I walk away from it and I'm like, I could have avoided that completely. And yet here I am again, letting it happen when I've seen the story before. But I think what she was saying was like, no relationship is like a waste. Like, none of that is ultimately a waste because that is just getting you closer to the right person. And I was like, you're right. With every experience, I learned something. Even if I didn't feel like I necessarily was learning something, I learned something. Okay.
Actually, let's just review. I'm going to make you guys listen to this. Sorry, guys.
I hope you're so interested in this dating talk. With Private Equity Man, who was the guy out of... Okay, obviously, I learned a lot from my first relationship. Private Equity Man, who was the guy that I dated out of that relationship, I feel like I learned a lot from him too. And now I'm blanking as to what I learned from him. Well, I think one really important thing that I learned from him was that there are good men out there and that... Just because I had left a relationship where I thought, oh, I learned that the dating scene isn't completely dire. Because when I was in that relationship, I was so convinced that I had found the only good man on this planet Earth. And that if I broke up with him and left that relationship, even if it made sense, I was walking away from the best thing I'd ever had kind of thing. I don't know why I had become convinced that like there was no other good man out there. But by dating Private Equity Man, I was reaffirmed that there are good men out there. In fact, there are good men that are going to put in so much more effort from the very beginning without any commitment. Because that's another thing. I didn't get like that effort before I got into my first relationship. It wasn't until I was dating that man that the effort started to come. So that was a good lesson. I feel like that was honestly like the biggest one, but there was a lot of other stuff too. Another lesson that I learned is don't ghost people. All it takes is a very cordial message to them, explaining the situation, explaining why things have changed, and you let both ends off the hook kind of thing. There was a lot else that I learned from him in that short period of time, but he definitely was like very impactful. There was this guy that I got severely humbled by when I went on a second date with him. With Holiday Fling, the biggest lesson that I learned from that was if your body is constantly anxious around them, that's a red flag. If you are always like a nervous wreck and like on an anxiety high, that's a red flag. You're supposed to feel comfortable around that person. Listen to your gut kind of thing. The guy that I approached, the lesson there was if they said they were going to text and they don't text, you leave it at that. You don't go back and try and like see what's up. That's a sign, like the let them theory, like let them not text you, because that was one massive mistake I made. He like said he was going to text and then 24 hours went by and I was like, what in the world happened to him texting? And literally Christine was like, no, you know what? I think you can text him. Like it's been enough time. And I was like, okay, sure. I'm going to go for it. Cause I'd been thinking about it like the entire day. And then I went for it and he was like, oh, I was going to text you like a couple of days later when I was like done with X, Y, and Z. And I was like, ugh, like I should have let him prove to me that he was actually going to text me. So learned my lesson there. And I actually did apply that to the following situation. I don't know if there was like a true lesson there, but it was proof that I can show up for myself even when someone else doesn't show up. Because when he didn't show up on that hike, I knew that in the past, if someone had stood me up, I would have like just kind of walked away from it feeling defeated and being like, oh my God, I fell for that, blah, blah. In this case, I was like, oh, he's not here. Fine, I'll just do the hike on my own. I'd literally planned my day. I was like, I'm gonna have a good day. Afterwards, I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna make myself some pancakes and then I'm gonna go watch Inside Out on my own. Like the moment I realized he wasn't showing up, I showed up for myself and I was like, today's gonna be a good day. We're not gonna let this whole he didn't show up thing like disrupt it. While I'm at it, like I'm here, so I might as well do the hike. I might as well have fun with that. And then I will continue the day in a way that I enjoy continuing the day. So that was just like, because I had always wondered, I've gotten so good at being independent and all that, but I don't know, it was just proof that I've grown so much and that was a good feeling. I want to say that there was some other lesson from that because that was like from the first time we hung out. I mean, there probably was, but I just like can't remember it. And then SD Man, that's the one that's a little tricky for me because I'm like, I can't think of anything that I didn't know already because I feel like it was kind of a repeated situation. But I think SD Man was also a situation where I got to test myself and it gave me some confidence in the fact that I have matured and grown as a human being. And that felt really good. I felt like it was almost like a trial run as to like what kind of partner I could be and how I could show up for myself if I were to be with someone in the future. And it taught me that I have become so much better with communication, infinitely better. It showed me that I will give someone a chance. I'll give them a couple of chances But when they don't show up in the way that I've been asking them to show up, I will be able to recognize that something's off. And for the most part, I'll be able to walk away, because that was something that, like, I made it very clear what I was looking for, what I was asking for. I gave him some chances. He tried, but he also failed a lot of times. And I was like, I don't want to keep asking. I don't want to feel like I'm constantly asking for the same things over and over again. So then I finally was like, you know what? I think we need to have a talk. And the talk was supposed to be about essentially ending it. Like, that was my bottom line. So I showed up for myself in that sense. I think I also demonstrate to myself that I can be very loving and caring. How do I explain this? Because obviously it's like, this is a random man. But like, you know, like the pumpkin pie thing, for example, like that's something I've never done for another guy outside of a relationship. And I don't know, I feel like it just kind of like was a testament to like, I have a very loving nature and I have so much love to give. I think that's what I realized. I have so much love to give. And when it comes to the right person, oh my gosh, that love will be infinite. And I'm so excited to know that I have that love to give, because I feel like I've been trying to suppress it for such a long time, but it's still there. She still lives within me. And like, I'm excited to hopefully one day meet someone who deserves that love. In the meantime, I give that love to myself and I pass that love over to my family and my friends so they get that. But I don't know, could be nice one day to like give that love to someone special, because I have a lot of it pent up in there. So when the universe is ready for the stars to align, I'm here, kind of thing. Except let me like get my life in check before we do that. So I think that was a big thing. So it was kind of like, it gave me a lot more confidence in myself, because like I said, I feel like I have a lot of fears for my first relationship. I never want to go back and repeat a relationship like that. And I've continuously feared that if I were to get into another relationship, it would just like end up being the same thing. But I've also worked so hard to like become a better version of myself. And I would really hope that with all the work that I put in and all the maturity that I have and the way that I've grown so much as a person, that my next relationship wouldn't even be remotely close to what that relationship was like. Anyways, I need to go to sleep. I'm so tired. But bottom line, there is no answer. For now, it's going to be no dating, no nothing. For now, I'm also going to be home for God knows how long. Literally, someone texted me and it was so sweet, but like texted me and was like, hey, like, are you going to be in Miami in the middle of March? I read that text. Okay, this is exaggerating it. When I read that text, I was just like, oh, no clue in my mind. Okay, I wrote like a more appropriate text to them, kind of explaining the situation. But just thinking about it, I was like, am I going to be in Miami in March? God, I hope not. I fear that if I am still living at home in March, I might not be living, period. That's an exaggeration. Okay, that's an exaggeration. But I have to admit, the concept of living at home 2 months from now absolutely terrifies me. I'm like, no, I genuinely hope I'm not living at home in 2 months, okay? I don't think you understand. You can come visit me, but I hope by all forces of the universe that I will not be living at home. I could still be living in Miami. That's not impossible, but I just hope I'm not living at home. Like, she was like, oh, like, I'd love to come visit you and your family. And I was like, I hope that that's not, I hope not. Like, I would love for you to come visit, like, genuinely. But I was like, for my own sanity, I hope I'm not here in 2 months from now. Okay. I didn't say that to her, but just in my mind, I was like, am I still going to be here in mid-March? Like, please, no. No, I can't. I can't. I can't. I told my mom over, my mom and I went to dinner tonight, just the two of us. I was telling her, I was like, by the way, we have multiple people who want to come visit me / us. And she was like, oh, who are they? So I was like giving her the list, and they literally all want to come like around the same time, like all March, funny enough. And I was like, see, but the complicated thing here is that I'm looking to move out. And she was like, really? And I was like, yeah, desperately. I need to move out right now. If things could just align. Anyways, she didn't freak out when I said that. I thought she was going to be like, why? Like, it's so nice at home, because my mom will do that. My mom will be like, I don't understand. And it's like, how do you not understand? Girl, we all know I'm a wee bit miserable, okay? We all know that I'm made to not live at home. I'm not built for this. I've somehow survived the past 7-8 months, but I personally am not built for this. I'm so sorry. Anyways, yes, I hope. I mean, because I was like, I wanted to be like, oh, I want to give you a concrete answer. Same with Christine. Christine wants to come visit me. I've wanted her to visit me for so long. I was kind of hoping low-key that she would visit me in January because I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to be here in January. It's a fun way to break up the time. I'm literally doing nothing but applying to jobs. Like, please come visit me. But her January and February are booked. So she was like, earliest I can do is like late February. And I was like, okay, but see, same thing here. I hope that by then, I mean, I know for a fact that I probably will still be at home. So I'm not like sitting here being delusional, being like, I'm definitely gonna be gone. But I can't help, like, when she mentioned it, I was like, I mean, yes, I'll probably be here. Like, those dates probably work perfectly fine. Except deep down, I'm still holding out hope that I won't be here. I admitted that to her. I was like, I'm gonna be honest, like, my goal is not to be here. And she was like, well, that's fine. Like, if you aren't there at that point, then I'll just go visit you wherever you are. And I was like, okay, amazing. Glad that you'll still visit me regardless of my location. But I was just like, I'm really holding out hope. Like, I'm ready. Universe, when you're ready, let me know, because I am ready. Thanks. Thank you. So yeah, I don't know. I had to share that exaggerated reaction. Also, I think I was trying to share that in my other podcast episode, and then I totally lost my train of thought and forgot about that. But yeah, I was just like, am I going to be here in mid-March? God, no. I was like, that's my worst nightmare. My worst nightmare. But also, I would love if she comes to visit me. It's just, how do I explain to her that I'm so desperate to leave, that I am holding out hope that I will not be here in mid-March, even though it's very hard for me to actually be able to fathom that I will be capable of moving out before then. Anyways, just with love, just with job search, just with all those things, you never know when it's going to happen. There's so much unknown in it. It's so strange. It could literally be the next person that you have a connection with. It could literally be some random person that you meet like at a grocery store. One time I was at this was like a goodbye brunch right after our graduation. And there were a couple people around the table that I didn't know, including someone that I think was sitting like directly in front of me, or maybe like one over, something of that sort. And she was telling the story of how she met her boyfriend. She was like, yeah, I met my boyfriend at Whole Foods in the water aisle. Like, he made fun of me for the water that I was getting. And then they got into a relationship. And I was like, I thought it was a myth that you could just meet someone that casually. You're telling me you actually met your boyfriend at a grocery store? Do I have to go stand in the water aisle for like the full day? What does it take? Stuff like that does not happen to me. Like, it actually amazes me the kind of stories people have and the kind of luck people have, not just with dating, but just other things too. Like, I feel like I'm lucky in many regards, but I will say, I don't think I have a lot of luck with dating. I don't, at least so far, which probably is just my sign that I should have stayed out of dating this entire time. Really, I think I should have not gotten to a relationship until I was like at least 22, but maybe like 25, honestly. Let that frontal lobe develop, okay? Let that frontal lobe develop is my only advice here. And I also don't have a lot of luck with this job search thing. Like, Christine, I was so amazed. Christine finds a second job and I was like, whoa, I didn't even realize you were like looking that serious. And she was just like, yeah, like, it just happened. I don't know if I ever mentioned this, but I applied to the exact same job. It's been over a week since they've come back from their winter break. I've heard nothing. So I'm going to assume that they rejected me. And obviously we have different resumes, but I feel like our resumes aren't that different. Like, she was also psychology and economics, but we have a degree from UCLA. We both have a lot of like marketing experience, like internship experience. And so I was like, oh, like, actually maybe I have a shot at this one. You know, if she got hired, I feel like I'm not that far off in terms of the kind of candidate I am. So like, maybe this actually could work out. No. But I did have to do the whole SAT before they rejected me. Well, ghosted me. I don't know if I mentioned this, but
yeah,
they sent me an aptitude test and I was like, oh, okay, aptitude test. Like, it's just an assessment. I was like, this will be easy. I was literally like in Mexico and I was like, I'm not doing anything related to the job search. But then I saw that and I was like, it's 15 minutes. I was like, this is probably super easy. Like, let me just get it out of the way. I open it up and the first thing I see is a math question. I am asked to do 50 questions in 15 minutes, and they are quite literally SAT leveled questions. I wish I was kidding when I said that. Like, I'm actually not kidding. I looked at that first question. I was like, am I supposed to be able to calculate that in my head? Because that's going to take me the whole 15 minutes. I'm so sorry. And like, mind you, I haven't done math. It was like a mix between math and like grammar. I don't even know how to explain it. It wasn't grammar. It was like those like critical thinking problems where it's like, this is to this and this is to this. And I was sitting there and I was like, I'm sorry, I'm a little confused. How is this to this? Like, that's not even related whatsoever. Anyways, long story short, 50 questions in 15 minutes. The first minute I'm sitting there just in shock. I'm like, is this for real? Like, am I actually expected to do this? And then I was like, okay, wait, I probably should get to work. So then I continued on. I did 38 questions. I don't even know what my scoring was. Look, I haven't done math properly in 5 years. Okay, why was I expected to be able to do this? And it's for a creative strategist role to make ads. Why am I supposed to be able to answer SAT level math questions to make video ads? Did I miss something? I was flabbergasted. I was flabbergasted indeed. And now I've been ghosted. So I don't know what the criteria in terms of like achieving that. Also, when I finally told Christine, because I didn't tell her until like days after, she was like, yeah, like I also had to do an assessment. And I was like, oh my God, like the SAT questions, like I thought that was absurd. And she was like, SAT questions? And I was like, yeah, you didn't do that whole like aptitude test where it was like a bunch of these questions. And she was like, no, I had to play a game. And I was like, are you kidding me? How did I end up with a mini SAT? So that was fun. I enjoyed that. And I'm particularly enjoying being ghosted because I was like, okay, for that, I better get a job. I was like, I better get a job. I'm so sorry, but I better get a job. But no, that was a fail. Anyways, probably for the better though, because it is based on the West Coast and that doesn't exactly align with any of my plans. I was like, either Europe or like I get a job on the East Coast. So I guess that doesn't really like work out. So anyways, okay, I'm really tired. I need to go to bed. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have better luck in love than I do. I think I, unfortunately, my luck and I, it's fun. I swear I've never met someone with such absurd dating stories as myself. Still waiting for the day that I meet someone who can match my freak, because it's so fun telling my friends who have like the most peaceful dating, and it's always the ones who are just like in this like very loving relationship, and they're kind of just like blinking at me and they're like, oh, that doesn't sound too bad. And I'm like, bruv, I literally got violated by a man. You wouldn't understand. But anyways, I will be avoiding dating. I think that celibacy journey, that intentional celibacy journey is looking really nice. And so that's, I guess, what I'm practicing. Except I'm not like actively, I'm not like every day in my mind I wake up and I'm like, I am celibate. Like, I'm not doing that. I've also been celibate. So like, I don't really know, nothing changed. But I don't know, maybe like, if I keep thinking about it from time to time, when it comes down to like meeting someone, I'll be like, but I'm celibate. Like, I'll remember to actually like make a point about it instead of forget. Even though I don't even know if like anything would come about it, but still. Anyways, meet and celibacy go hand in hand. I love my peace of mind. I love that there's literally not even a singular man that could cross my mind as like an option. I don't get out. I don't frolic in places where there are men of my age. So organic dating is not even possible for me right now. But if anyone does have any tips on like how to do organic dating, just for future references, like when I finally do come to it, I would love to have it, because I really don't
besides going up to men, which like terrifies me. I really don't know how I would do that. So, and men don't approach me, well, unless they're men that I'm like really not interested in. So, thank you so much for listening. I will see you guys in my episode next week. Bye. Love you all.